Welcome to the APC Podcast. Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, and Zach Rapport back with you. Thank you so much for listening. Exciting stuff to get to. We are halfway through the preseason. It feels like it's been a full season. Can you believe we have two more weeks of this shit? I cannot believe that we have to suffer through two more weeks.
What a good product.
Yeah. September 10th is coming. Packers Seahawks is approaching.
Can I just say, though, I say in sarcasm frequently, what a good product. And really, though, when it comes down to game day, like when there's an awesome touchdown pass, I'm on my feet.
Yeah.
That was still exciting.
I didn't think that was a terrible product this last game.
I mean,
I mean, I'm a degenerate, yeah. But I'm
a loser.
It could have been worse. Like, we didn't have Odell Beckham get incapacitated.
We did not. Yeah, but
or Jordy Nelson, for that matter.
Got a fair share of injuries already, I would say. We had like seven of them in the first game. So,
but that was one big thing about this last game. Less on the wounded wagon.
Yeah.
Less brutal.
Yeah,
dodged a bullet with Dean Lowry, right?
Yeah.
Because that looked like it could have been really bad. But anyway, we got plenty to get to. We're gonna get to our latest edition of Mac Tracks here. Some from the old ball coach. We'll get to some of your Twitter questions as well, as many of you have written in with some more training camp thoughts and everything. A reminder, if you are not a subscriber to the podcast, please do so. Find us on iTunes or your podcast platform of preference. And if you have the opportunity to give us a review, we would definitely appreciate that. Those go a long way. Twitter engagement, it's been great. I feel like the show is growing, and a big part of that also is a lot of people reaching out to you, Zach, about our pick'em. It's coming, we promise.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a huge APC pick'em this year, and it's gonna be really cool, because if you win, we're not gonna give you cash, because we don't want to make you pay to play with a bunch of people you may have never met or you're listening to from across the world, but
we will
send you something cool.
Maybe you can come on the show and gloat. I will say, I was talking to Tex Western, the managing editor over at APC, and he said he would volunteer an APC t-shirt to the highest placing listener.
All right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That's a tangible thing for you guys.
I agree. I think that's really cool.
Shirts are tangible.
Yes, they are a tangible thing. And I also think we do need like a podcast shirt at some point. Like I said, I've seen so many of those running around New York. Now, we do this show in New York. Another thing we were spitballing, just by the way, before we get into the good stuff that you tuned in for, I think we need, like, we've been, in, like, prompting people from across, you know, wherever, in other countries, interesting stories on being Packers fans to reach out to us. But we're, like, I feel like we need to engage our local Packer audience. I know there's a ton of Packers fans in New York, because I've been to almost every Packer bar in New York City, and it's every single one of them is slammed on game day.
More than 1% of our listeners are in New York. I know that for a fact.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. So the 1%ers, or slightly more.
all you East Coast elites.
we'd like to, we got to do like a watch party or something like that. I was saying how, like, you know, if you show up and like say you're like friend of the pod or something like that, I'll buy you a beer. And
put your money where your mouth is.
Put my money where my mouth is. If we can just grow this little community here in season two of the APC podcast. All right, preseason game number two. Let's get to some notable nuggets from the game. What do you say?
You looking at me?
Either one of you.
Nugget up, dude.
I'm still stuck on ball Nugget coach.
the old ball coach.
I guess.
Sorry, I don't know why I made Mike McCarthy, Steve Spurrier there. That was just
all right, Ben. What is your notable nugget from preseason so far?
Josh Hawkins, everybody's talking about it. I was also really impressed with Marwin Evans, who I want to make the team because I like Milwaukee. I'm from Milwaukee. I rep Milwaukee. And I think he's a great football player. And if he doesn't stick on the Packers, he will surely get signed somewhere.
Would you say, with the opportunity to start and a PBU in the end zone, that Josh Hawkins has gone a long way at making a bid at being on this roster once again?
Yeah, I think King had some struggles. Not that I think he doesn't make the roster. But if Green Bay Packers fans know anything, it's that cornerback depth and secondary depth is your friend.
Yeah. You're a big secondary guy. That's like always your jam. I love that.
I mean, my eye is drawn to the ball. I'm not going to pay attention to the fights in the trenches the way I am going to be like PBUs and
neither am I.
Whatever.
Ben Foldy is just a shirtless man in a Chinatown apartment who loves secondary play.
I wasn't going to call him out on it again, because this time I really can't blame him.
You guys are more than welcome to take your shirts off.
I'm not comfortable enough with my body.
This is a shirt-free zone for those who want it to be.
I got one button undone.
Whatever, man.
We got two, three?
Live a little. Live two. A little.
Two. I'll go two.
All right.
All right.
Speaking of nuggets.
For now.
All right, I'll go next. I was so excited to see Marty B getting in on the action with that touchdown catch. I know this is kind of a lame nugget because obviously everyone's excited about Martellus Bennett and the possibilities there, but to finally see that Rodgers Bennett connection in the end zone, no less, and to just, I don't know, I'm excited. It got me really, really jacked up for the rest of the season to see how it all plays out. And also to just to see Martellus Bennett in action, he's like 10-15% larger than everyone else on the field in like every way, in height and weight and in girth. He's like if Julius Peppers played on the offense.
Remember when we tried that once?
Yep. It almost worked. It almost worked.
So close.
I mean, and Lance Kendricks was on for that 12. Like yep. That was that, and they were both lined up outside the receivers, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm. Getting ready for that.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm
plenty of weird.
I've never been as confident in any like new acquisition, like just fitting in and being successful right away, I think, as I have been in Martellus Bennett. And it's weird because, like, he's always been kind of good, but I feel like he's also, like, for as gifted as he is physically, you could argue is, like, underachieved, but now he's playing with the best guy in the game.
Yeah, he was dinged up a little bit last year, and
he didn't underachieve last year, no. I don't think.
I mean, he was playing with Brady. Filled admirably. But I'm saying, like, he's played with some crap quarterbacks and some bad
situations.
He was
a Chicago Bear. That's not his fault.
Exactly.
And then he was stuck behind Jason Witten, who's, like, the most durable tight end. You know, he hasn't missed a game in, like, 8 years. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't hold it against him.
I want to expand a little bit on that nugget, and then I'll hand it over to you, Alex. But Richard Rodgers, you know, the whole tight end group. Richard Rodgers, I was never excited about Richard Rodgers being a number one tight end. But he's a great number three tight end. Yeah. I'm super excited about this tight end group. He's all hands, baby.
Yeah.
So all three of them on the, not on the field at the same time, but like, I'm just really excited about our tight end group. That you, Ben, you are big on secondary. I have always been a huge tight end fan. It's when I played football in sixth grade for 18 minutes on a team with pads and tackling. I was terrible. I was a tight end. I know Mark Chmura was my favorite player when I was a kid.
There you go.
That ended well. Anyway.
So you're a Jake Stoneburner man, is what you're saying.
I go deep.
Yeah.
Deep with the tight end love and knowledge. All right, I'm done.
I can see the seam passes now, man. I tweeted that out at Alex Patakis. That fucking hominid right off like the linebacker's ear hole, like without him even turning around. It's coming. That's back. I'm willing to proclaim that that is officially back.
All right, give me your nugget.
Well, it's hard to ignore. I hate to be the one to go negative, but I'm a little concerned about offensive line depth. I feel like when the Packers drafted Jason Spriggs, it seemed like he was someone who we should start factoring into like our 2 to maybe 3 year plan. Like, where is this guy going to start? Can he shift positions? Because we've got Bakhtiari now. But clearly, Spriggs has got to be a starter because he was so gifted and, like, you know, really thought of as a guy who could be a cornerstone. I mean, he's been abysmal. And I don't like their depth in the interior offensive line. And now with Spriggs, like, just basically having his, you know, true color shown for now, I'm not willing to say he's never going to be able to play. Man, like, we're an injury away from the quarterback having to scramble all the freaking time.
And well, he already scrambles all the time, but that's of his own volition.
Yeah, that's after he holds the ball in a clean pocket for like 15 seconds. And I'm not complaining. He threw, you know, more touchdowns than anybody last year. I'm just saying that's a little bit concerning to me.
I what's to disagree with? Spriggs looks like shit.
He is not playing well right now. That is true. He's having a rough go of it. I think, though, he got better last year as the year went on and he was pressed into duty. He got better, and correct me if I'm wrong, they moved his... He's playing a different position now. He's back to... They retrained him last year at a different position. He got better as the year went on, and then they said, nope, just kidding. Now you're going back to your old position, so he had to unlearn all that stuff. And
sure.
So he's in a rough spot. It's his second year, right? So he's...
He's taking a leap.
Well, you hope so. I mean, he was... people were leaping by him.
Second year.
Yeah, it's his second year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was Aaron Nagler tweeted out a couple gifs, a couple highlights, lowlights from the last game against Washington, and he's just, it was rough. It was rough, man. A saloon door, if you will.
Yeah. Speaking of tweets, should we touch on the best Packers tweet in a while?
Yes.
All right. So despite not making the field in the last preseason game, this week's Arias of the Week is clearly Demarius Randle. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Because he had probably the, like, both, like, a sick and understated burn on, what's that guy's name? Trice what?
Well, I think his Twitter is Trice, but I think his name is Bryce Triggs, isn't it?
Bryce Triggs?
Combined his name.
Trice Briggs? I don't know
if he's really worthy of us really knowing his Twitter.
Yeah.
Or shouting out the handle. Anyway.
So, you know, everybody. I feel like anybody who'd be listening to this podcast knows the story by now, probably. But in case you don't, the guy who blindside crack blocked him, you know, like Hines Ward on steroids and concussed him, tweeted a complaint about getting fined the league maximum $25K when he made the league minimum $450K last year, and then was talking about starting a GoFundMe. And then Demarius Randle just tweeted at him, like, what did he?
I got it right here.
Yeah.
Your broke ass shouldn't play dirty then.
Which is like so perfect. Ugh. It's not, you know, he's not mad on the internet, you know? Like, there's no like rage there. He's just humiliating, you know, two rich men humiliating each other in the best way they know how.
Take it in your description of the play, you do think it was a dirty hit?
Fuck yeah. No. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, almost all the reports from inside, you know, I don't, ODB last night, that wasn't, I don't think that was dirty, but,
no.
You know, launching yourself helmet first into someone who doesn't know you're there in a first quarter of a preseason, the first preseason game is like, it's a fucking chump move.
Yeah.
And most, I think, the general sentiment from everybody except for mouth breather Philadelphia fans is that that was a, not that all Philadelphia fans are mouth breathers, but plenty of them seem to be on Twitter.
Shout out to Benetton, Bleeding Green Nation, not a mouth breather.
No. We would have known it because we had a microphone right up next to his mouth.
Yep.
So, like, you know, I think, whatever. I don't like any cheap plays. I don't like to see our guys do cheap plays. I probably willfully ignore when we do. But if called on it, I'd like to think that I would acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Very well said.
Anyway.
I think so.
Dem's your nuggets, guys.
That's all right. The Demarius, though, the Arias of the week.
Quick bonus nugget, if I may.
Extra nugget. The Dingleberry.
Courtesy of Wes Hotkowitz, who I would pay to just be in his living room on Sunday night at like 9:59 to see what his reaction to the latest episode of Game of Thrones was. But anyway, he tweeted out Malachi Dupree, who is back today, by the way.
Yes.
Insane. Dude, just back to playing football. Like,
NBD.
Who needs
nearly
a brain?
Paralyzed.
Who needs a
Who
brain?
Needs a brain? I'm just going to go out and do what I was training to do for my whole life and just keep on trucking along. Malachi Dupree apparently told reporters Aaron Rodgers was the first person to go visit him in the hospital. This is a 7th-round wide receiver. It's not Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson, a rapport. So shouts to you, Greg Jennings, Colin Cowherd, and all you people. We're going to keep throwing out examples of Aaron Rodgers being a great teammate, and people will keep disparaging him. But it's cool because, you know, he's just going to keep proving his worth and how fucking cool he is.
Maybe
so.
He only likes injured people. Wasn't Terrence Murphy was the one that I was holding up as
boys.
The...
Well, they were in the same draft class, so they were boys before. I mean, I know that injury happened really early, but they were boys before that happened.
Yeah.
But by every measure, it seems like every reasonable person who doesn't have a like reason to hate the organization thinks Rodgers is a good teammate. Speaking of Rodgers, we saw him, as obviously noted by you, Zach, in the touchdown pass to Marty B. He played one series in preseason game number 2. And the coach weighed in on that, the decision to play him. It's the latest edition, MacTrax.
Well, here we go. That's a polluted mindset. It's lonely being a Warrior sometimes. First-year players making a big jump into their second year. He's a leader. He's a leader of your football team. He's a leader of your offense. He's the quarterback position. Everything that we do from an offensive perspective goes through the quarterback position. This system is designed on making the quarterback successful, starting with running the football. I thought we had very good run-pass balance in the first series. Overall in the game, I didn't get the ball ran enough. We had 29 rushes. 20 of them were carries. The other 9 were from the quarterbacks. So. But he gets the whole thing started. So the ability to play with that tempo, to play a 15, 16 play drive, to stress, you know, not only the defense, but to stress yourself, the conditioning and all those things. And that's, you know, clearly a reflection of Aaron being in the game.
So the biggest bonuses for the other 10 guys or however many other guys you rotate in, then because he always, he says he could be fine if he didn't play any in the preseason. But it's more the benefit to all those other guys around him being with him, right?
Correct. It's a team game, and obviously it's the best thing for the team. That's why we make those decisions.
All right. Do you guys buy it? I feel like I agree with maybe half of what McCarthy says there. But do you believe that Aaron Rodgers should be playing in the preseason? Is it valuable, if not necessarily for him, other people?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Defend your position.
For two reasons. One, I think that, like McCarthy says, I think it's important for players who have not played with him before, Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, et cetera, to get a sense of what it's like to play with him in a game rhythm. You know, like, for example, if you've never played with Aaron Rodgers before, do you know that you need to run up to the line and be set to get that extra 12-man on the field call? You know, like you have to be used to that kind of, like, thinking of the game that he does.
Sure.
And be ready to, like, push, right? And you're not going to do that in practice, right? Like, you're not, like, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to try to catch 12 men on the field at practice. There's no way to, like, set that up. Secondly, I think it's important from a fan perspective, and not in a way that we have to please the fans, but just, like, you know, we saw, if you, let's say that Brett Hundley struggled with the first offense, you know, then you create this narrative of, like, oh, we need to see something in game three. Oh, we need to see something in game four. Right now, we're just like, oh, we saw, like, a great 8-minute, 74-yard drive, whatever it was. Like, there's no worries about the first-team offense for the rest of the preseason.
Yeah.
And like, if you do that in one drive, great. Like, I'd rather have that happen in one drive in game two than, you know, going into game four of the preseason. And yes, preseason is meaningless, but 3 weeks of, like, oh, my God, we need to fix this, we need to fix this, even if that's only outside of the locker room and outside of, you know, the offices at Lambeau, I think that it does have an impact, and, like, I personally feel better not having to worry about the first team offense for the next 2 weeks.
I mean, would you worry about them if you didn't see Rodgers at all, really, though? Like, I understand that we're coming up with two straight years where the offense was kind of underwhelming for either the second half of a year or the first half of the following year. But, like, if I didn't have that series, it was exciting to see him throw the ball to Martellus Bennett, but I wouldn't enter week one against Seattle, like, feeling any worse.
But would you leave week one feeling worse if they don't win week one, which is a totally reasonable possibility?
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, the logical, for me, the logical extension of that is, okay, fast forward to week four. If the offense is struggling, I could imagine myself accepting the narrative that, yeah, they should have probably had more, you know, real game reps in the preseason.
Yeah, but, I mean, one series, like, which is, I would imagine, probably...
That was half a quarter, though. I mean, like, it wasn't, like... It
well,
wasn't,
I mean,
a
they turned
three
the ball
out.
Over. They gave Washington two straight possessions, and
they
had
didn't
a 15
turn the,
play drive.
They didn't turn the ball over. It was, I mean, they did on special teams, yeah, but it wasn't the offense.
So they gave Washington an extra possession. Otherwise, yeah, that drive would have happened earlier, and he would have been out, you know, like, well into the... Look, I guess I can buy other people, like, maybe needing reps, but, like, just picture this, right? Like, you're getting game reps with Hundley. Now, make Brett Hundley perfect. And that's what you should get used to. Like, that ball was pretty accurate. Oh, it'll be a little bit more accurate. I get the game rhythm stuff, but, like, I mean, they know Aaron Rodgers, man. Like, he's talking to these guys. The amount of practice reps he gets per practice leading up is so, like, there's so much volume throughout training camp that I don't buy that one series in a game, like, really brings any. It's just too big a risk.
But this, like, is so much more, like, if you're, let's say you're a tight end, a random tight end that happened to have been signed by the Green Bay Packers this season, and... Now, sticking out in the front of your mind is Aaron's going to rush the tempo of this. Like, sure, you're practicing, you know, no huddles, whatever. But when you know in a game situation that Aaron's, like, thinking on that level and you've, like, you've got this, like, stand. Because to me, that's the standout point of the drive, right, is the 12-man on the field call.
Yeah.
And when you're always, you're hyper aware of that, you know, I think that that can't hurt. I mean, obviously, we're having a totally different conversation if he gets Joe Theismann in the first quarter of a preseason game.
Yeah, I just don't think it's worth the risk. And, like, I guess other people would point to, like, well, this guy plays and this guy plays. And my answer would be, like, well, I don't think Brady should be playing either. Like, I don't think there's enough to be gained to offset the potential loss. Like, he's able to be hit. And, like, the less opportunity for him to actually have contact until the games matter is, like, I'm all for that. It's just not, to me, it's just, like...
But look what happened with Washington, right? and like, because they didn't score a touchdown in their first game, so they had to leave Cousins in the entire first half.
But they don't need to do that, though. Like, I just think.
But they
like
feel
a
that
silly,
they do.
Like, why do you concern
feel...
yourself with the opinion of the lion? Doesn't concern I mean, himself with the opinion of the sheep.
We're talking about. We are talking about one of the most horribly mismanaged franchises in the NFL, but. Fan perception is important, and these kind of narratives are important, even if they're bullshit, and even if Aaron Rodgers knows they're bullshit and will make no bones about telling everybody that they're bullshit.
Right.
It's
if he's comfortable without playing, I feel like
he
I should
didn't
just
look
trust
like he
him.
Wanted to come out the field, did he? Well, you know, he could have easily been like, "All right, fuck this."
I think
this.
It's a different story going into the game, wanting to play or wanting to not play, and then being like a touchdown drive in. Like, I just got done with who was I talking to? I was talking to someone at work, and they do a show with, was it Damian Woody? I don't know, like one of the former Jets that does ESPN New York stuff now. And he was saying, like, you never, it was Eric Coleman, the fullback. You never want to play in a preseason game, but when you start, like, and you're out there, and you're, like, hitting someone that's not a teammate, and that person, you know, is, like, a legitimate player as well.
Yeah.
You kind of forget, like, it's just, like, it's another rep. Like, they were saying, like, you just, like, don't even think about it not mattering. Like, you're just in that rhythm then. It's like, you know. You're getting yourself all geared up. Like, we might as well keep going now.
Yeah.
As opposed to stopping. So, yeah, I buy that. Like, maybe going in, Rodgers was like, eh, it might not be worth it. And then after he throws a touchdown and he's, you know, still standing intact, like, maybe he would want to stay in. But I don't know, man. I think he'll play. We'll probably see him again for a similar amount of time week three. And then
we'll
see him
won't.
For
maybe
preseason
they've
game
seen everything
four.
They need now.
Maybe.
You know?
But, like, anyway.
It's impossible to say.
Yeah. It's an argument we're going to have every year.
Counterfactuals.
And he'll probably take one, you know, take a preseason rep or two or a series or two every year. All right. We mentioned the extra possession that Washington got, the Washington football team, and that was courtesy of Trevor Davis muffing a punt a week after he returned one for a touchdown. Now,
take the good with the bad.
You take the good with the bad. One of the things that we talked about before the show is just like the Twitter pendulum swinging so drastically from one end to the other. It was like we had Jeff Janis cut. We joked about that a lot on Twitter and with each other. Then Jeff Janis had a touchdown grab on a slant and go that looked really good in week one. Trevor Davis had a punt return. Oh, he locked that job up. And then he muffs one, which is why he lost that job to begin with in his rookie season last year. Remember, he muffed a punt in a regular season game. I can't remember what week. And we never saw him again back there.
Yeah,
not once. It was like they completely lost trust. So I guess with these two guys, because it seems like one success makes you feel worse about the other's chances, like, is it a definitive thing that, you know, there could only be one? I think they're both locks.
I think they both make the team.
I think
point.
They're both locks now. I think they've both shown
and
enough.
I think, again, this is one of those things of preseason being a place for, like, teachable moments. And, like, Trevor Davis is going to be like, you know what? I'm a fair catch this next time.
Yeah.
And I'd rather that happen in week two of the preseason than week two of the regular season.
Well, and I think to expound on that, you mentioned that, Alex, you mentioned that Trevor Davis muffed one in a real game and they never trusted him again.
Yeah.
Well, in this game, he muffed it and they kept him in there and
right.
gave him more opportunities.
This is the time for that.
Yeah.
And I think they've seen the potential in game. So now I think they believe like the reward of like having him like work the game.
I think they're committed to him.
You know what else they've seen is that, and Ben Fennell's been putting this on a lot, is Kevin King is not a good special teams player at the moment. And a lot of these early gunners, I mean, who was it who, for? I think it was Moreau or whatever his name is, Fabian Moreau, the corner, is kind of a beast as a gunner. He's the Jeff Janis. But yeah, the coverage on that punt was awful on both punts actually.
Yeah. I think they're both in and I don't see, I mean, I guess you would want to argue maybe the Packers only keep five. I mean, I would think they would keep six.
No way. It would go against, I mean, they
kept seven last year
and they went into the draft taking two wide receivers. I think they're totally cognizant of the fact that they are.
And
they get to
punt for a week with Allison being suspended.
And let's be real too. Yeah, who looked great, by the way. You know, all of these guys, no offense to Aberderis, I like all of them more than Aberderis. or like in terms of like future potential. So absolutely. I mean, if we could keep Aberderis on the roster, like we can keep these guys.
They both bring a lot of special teams value. Zach, great point in mentioning that Allison is not going to count toward your 53 week one. So once the preseason ends,
someone else will get hurt.
They're both in regardless, and I don't think either one of them will get cut. I think it'll be someone else, like someone in either the backfield or someone. And might I remind you, there is still plenty of opportunity for injuries, and that always factors in. I don't see Dupree making the team. I don't see D'Angelo Yancey making the team. It sounds like they're going to have a bunch of practice squad receivers.
It makes me kind of bummed out that we wasted those picks even more than I was when we did them. But alas, I mean, McCaffrey seems like a safer bet than either of those
seems
guys.
Like, yeah, I agree. I think it seems like he can play as well. But I think both those guys will end up making the squad. Speaking of log jams at positions, I don't know what's going on at running back. The Ty Montgomery hamstring opened up.
It a hamstring? Did they say that?
It's a soft tissue.
Soft tissue.
All right. I don't want to be
casting aspersions.
We'll keep it as a soft tissue. You know what? He's got a leg.
Yeah, he's got a leg. He's got a lower body.
As people in NFL circles like to joke. So he's got he two didn't of play. Them. So Jamal Williams ended up getting the start. He was taking handoffs from the quarterback and playing with the first team offensive line. It was kind of like
some good, some bad.
Okay. And then you got the late round running back binge crew behind him with Aaron Jones and Devontae Mays and
the I don't really guys whose names I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, guys who won't be on the team. So one of the things that Zach threw out when we were like prepping for the show is like basically like big picture wise, like are you kind of concerned about their running game or are we getting ahead of ourselves?
No.
Not concerned?
No.
Okay. I guess here's my argument for why I think it's fair to worry.
Go on.
I don't know that it has. I like Jamal Williams. I have since we started talking about him when they drafted
since
him.
Since he intimated he might come on the show.
Yeah, and that as well, to be completely honest. But, you know, I did like him before.
Yeah,
that's
we
why
all
we
like
want to get him.
We
on
all
the
liked
show.
Him. And we still like him.
Very responsive on Twitter. Multiple times he's been like, yeah, I'll do it. But we got to work it out. He's a busy guy. And now they practice at night and stuff, so it kind of screws us. Anyway, their offensive line, I think, is... Look, I'm not really concerned that they're not going to be able to protect Rodgers. Lane Taylor was great last year. But I think it's fair to wonder if you can keep doing the whole, like, you know, lose a Pro Bowl, all-pro guard, and not miss a beat. It worked for them last year when they lost Sitton, and Lane Taylor stepped right in, and everything was just great. But losing TJ Lang is still like you know, if you're going the pluses and minuses, like what they gained and what they lost, like that's their biggest loss in the offseason.
I mean,
even more so than probably all the guys on the edge they lost because, you know, Julius Peppers to me was like, you know, he was like a specialty guy who didn't play a ton of snaps, et cetera. So, I mean, who knows what we're getting from Jahri Evans? Jahri Evans was cut at 33 years old by the Saints, where he played most of his career after a stint in Seattle. Couldn't latch on in Seattle, who's also got a lot of offensive line issues.
Oh, they would love to have him right now.
Goes to New Orleans, like basically is just like demoted and almost forced into retirement. And the Packers are like, all right, yeah, well, let's take this guy. Now he's automatically starting when it seemed almost like he would be out of the league. That concerns me a little bit. And that's one link on the offensive line. But there's some big shoes to fill running on that left side where it used to be Lang, Bakhtiari, and now it's
Bakhtiari, you know, and Jahri Evans. But Bakhtiari is the third best graded run blocking tackle in the game.
1 week link next year, man.
Well,
yeah, just saying.
I mean, one thing that makes me not worry about any of these guys is that they all have above average to good pass catching ability, and so I'm not sure how much we need them to run between the tackles. And I don't mean to sound like a total idiot here. The other thing is, I think that Jamal Williams will learn how to be patient with his blocks at an NFL level. The holes were there a lot of the time, and he was kind of the anti-James Starks, like always looking to run like right up the middle.
Bounce it outside.
He doesn't even need to bounce it outside, but he can look for holes between the tackle and the guard rather than between the guard and the center. But all the fundamentals, you know, all the pass blocking, all the kind of falling forward, keeping his legs moving, like, I was fine with all of it. Like, I really wasn't that
I will
upset.
Say, I've heard enough reports from enough people I trust at camp watching practice saying that they think Jamal Williams is the real deal.
Yeah.
That I'm going to trust that until I see otherwise. And after the first preseason game, I thought, okay, well, this game plan really was designed to feature the quarterbacks, to feature the wide receivers, to work on pass protection. Maybe in the second game, we'll get to see a little bit more of the running backs because they have a logjam, Alex, as you mentioned earlier. But we didn't see that. They got a few more carries, but really, they like that has not been a featured part of the plan. So maybe that is yet to come, but I'm still confused as to like how I'm supposed to evaluate these running backs. Not that I get paid to do that.
And also, we were just talking about how Aaron Rodgers came out of this unscathed, and he did. And you know, I haven't gone back and looked at the tape, but I think Jamal Williams's pass blocking is
good,
above average.
Yeah,
for even for an NFL rookie.
Yeah.
The verdict on his snaps in the game was that he looked good in pass pro.
Yeah,
I will say, because we did a podcast a couple of weeks ago with Ben Natan. And we talked about, like, do they really need to run the ball? And
his
is McCarthy just
yes.
going to continue to be stubborn? Yeah, for the offensive line as sort of a break. While it sounds like I'm concerned, I will also say, like, big picture-wise, I'm not like, oh, guys, the offense is screwed, because I think this is going to be a year kind of like, you know, closer to 2010, 2011, where it's like, wow, we've got so many weapons
yeah.
that we really can just... teams with all of our pass options.
I liked what I saw out of Aaron Jones. I mean, a touchdown is always good, but just
he was so good in college at being a receiving back.
Yeah,
and we're he's
the little tiny Arian Foster-y kind of guy we always wanted. So.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to some Twitter questions here. Tweet at the show at any given moment. Zach does a great job responding there. I'm just kidding. It's not him. The podcast has a mind of its own.
It's fine. You can say it's me.
It's good at social media. The APC pod. You could tweet at us at Zach Rapport, at Ben Foldy, at Alex Patakis. We keep it real easy and just go with our names. Glenn tweeted at us saying, edge rushers, less important than we think because of the fast-paced passing game, referring to league-wide intermediate passing game. Plus our interior rush, or oh my god, who is going to get pressure? Fackrell sucks. Which way are you leaning?
One thing that I think is notable is the way that we have seemed to have put a premium on the ability of the front three to bull rush and collapse the pocket quickly. Kenny Clark is looking great.
He's looking monstrous.
I think they want. They drafted Montrevious Adams for the same, this kind of like big force in the middle that can like collapse a pocket quickly and flush a quarterback even just from front three pressure. And so far that looks to be largely the case. I think it's thin, but I think that tactically it is sound. Kyler Fackrell not doing it for anybody, but alas.
Yeah. I would say like I don't want to discredit the interior rush. Here's the thing. I think the pass rush has seemed pretty cool at times in the preseason, but I don't trust Dom Capers to actually be gutsy enough to send the kind of pressures he's been sending in the regular season.
Yeah,
that it as what he's been sending in the preseason. I just don't. Like, well, we see him blitzing safeties, corners all the freaking time. That's kind of what the scheme is supposed to be, and you can get away with that if the personnel on the back end is really good. And we don't know a lot about the personnel on the back end other than, you know, Clinton Dix, and I wouldn't even consider Morgan Burnett a back end of your secondary player, and who knows about Kentrell Bryce? He's in the mix of guys that McCarthy thinks is going to take a big second year leap. So I am concerned, because at the end of the day, if Matthews, Perry, and those guys aren't getting home, I can see a scenario where they start getting bombed again and having to beat people by outscoring them.
There was some good stunting, though.
I think you put a good bow on it, Alex, but the point that I was going to make is that Dom Capers' defense does not... The only way that they're really going to generate pressure is by sending pressure, by blitzing, really. So they want push, they want to collapse the pocket, but they really are not depending on getting sacks out of their front.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ben?
I just wanted to do that in a way that it could be edited out.
Gotcha.
All right, questions. You got any more questions for us?
Yeah, so Matub chimed in, and he kind of chastised me for missing this question last week.
Still relevant.
Sorry pre-season, about that. Still relevant. Man. He sent a bunch. I want to pick one here because I really like this question, and I want to get your guys' opinion on that. Your guys'. How's that for grammar? So Matub's asked, is Hundley trade bait? This is a really popular question right now. What do you think?
Yes.
You think yes?
Could be, but I don't... I don't know. I feel like there's also other trade bait that exists out there that would I would put ahead of Hundley on the food chain right now. So I think there's going to be some quarterback movements. I think there's too many teams who are like having position battles at quarterback in the preseason where backups like Hundley and Garoppolo are better options than those guys. But like what you could see a week for the preseason trade.
What is trade bait? Does trade bait mean that we are actively trying to trade him or that he's on the market? Like,
I think really the heart of the question is, yeah, like, Is he worth a high draft pick to another team right now?
No, but he's worth more than a fifth.
Think he's worth more than the fifth?
Yeah.
I've heard otherwise.
I don't know about more than a fifth. I don't know. The way teams value draft picks, it's kind of crazy.
Quarterbacks are so overrated.
I've heard this from more than one person covering the team. I can only think of Michael Cohen offhand.
Quarterbacks are overrated? What do you mean?
I mean that Sam Bradford's not worth a first-round pick.
Yeah, so why would you think Hundley would be worth more than like a fifth then?
Because you mean in terms of actual value or in terms of what teams will pay for him?
Like what teams will pay for
him? I mean, teams will overpay for quarterbacks. That's what I mean.
Oh,
like if you're the Baltimore Ravens right now and you're looking at a season without, you know, where you don't know how Flacco is going to be and I can't even remember who their backup is, you're on the phone with Buffalo. You're on the phone with, you know, Trevor Siemian's going to be the starter in the Broncos, and maybe they want, you know, Hundley could be a good fit, longer term solution there.
I would have no issue if they wanted to trade Hundley and sign a free agent, perhaps one that is talked about more than any player in the NFL currently. That's being
Tim Tebow.
No, he's a baseball player, not a quarterback. He's a budding star.
I would love Colin Kaepernick. If that's what we're all dancing around.
Yep,
that is what we're dancing.
That would be a weird system change, though. Let's be real.
Oh, that would be
it would be totally bizarre to watch.
But right, I am very here for Colin Kaepernick and Martellus Bennett being teammates.
Let's move on, and I want to give Matubbs one more honorable mention because he sent a follow-up question. If there was a Thunderdome-style tournament of fights to the death among all APC contributors, who would win?
Owen? I don't know. I haven't met most of these guys.
Jason B. Hershard.
I really just wanted to ask that question to point out to the listeners, first of all, that... the APC Writer Network is vast, and it is spread across the world. So we have not met, aside from Tex, we haven't actually met any of the other contributors. But a lot of them are former football players, football coaches.
So Owen, I know, played offensive line, which is why I go with him. Now, I don't want to be slighting anyone. I just don't know enough.
I go with Jason, hands down.
All right.
It's not me. I'll just say that...
You're a hockey player.
Ben over here plays hockey.
I don't fight. I'm a little dude. That's what I had my co-op board interview yesterday. They're like, "We saw you play hockey online. We think hockey players are violent." And I was like, "I'm little fast."
Serious?
I mean, they were joking.
Oh, okay.
But I was just like, "I'm not a fighter."
Well, I'm
although I am a serious asshole on the rink.
Like, so how do you not get in fights but be an asshole?
I'm much faster than most of my opponents.
There you go.
Swift
speed
and
comes
nimble.
In handy and in a Thunderdome style tournament.
Yeah, I
if it's on ice, I might win. How's that?
I am gluten free and I look like I'm gluten free, so I'm not winning any of these.
That means you have vast energy reserves.
I don't know about that.
I eat gluten, which gives me a potent gas weapon when necessary.
I would be basically racing with Zach to be the first one out of that thing. I've actually never been in a fight. Have you guys?
I've gotten my ass whooped. Does that count?
Kind of.
I have a lot of trouble actually hurting other people.
All right, do we have other Packers questions?
I like that question.
I thought it was going to be who wins it, Taysom Hill or the other guy.
Can I just say,
you're not taken with Taysom?
No, it's not that. Like, I like both of them on my team. They're so irrelevant to me. Yeah, Hill and Callahan. Like
Callahan,
seeing
looked
people
really
break
bad.
Out in like Twitter takes about it. It's just like that's fine, and your take might be right, but like. Who cares?
Taysom Hill is...
There's the best quarterback on the planet. Oh, and by the way, another really capable guy ahead of them. So, like...
They will never
have an opportunity.
But also, Taysom Hill is like... He's like white America's Colin Kaepernick. He's like 27 years old. Good scrambler. He's a day older. He's a day younger than Randall Cobb. That's my favorite factoid of the day.
Yeah, he's old.
So his birthday is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because today, as we record this, is Randall Cobb's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Which I learned from the quarterback's Instagram.
Happy birthday, Randall.
Nice. Nice work there.
Yeah.
Randall, all right.
It's your birthday.
Question coming in from Louie. I like this one. This alludes to a conversation we had earlier. Why do people get worked up over fringe wide receivers every year?
Ah.
There's a bunch of McCaffreys, Miles Whites, Torrey Gurleys, DeAndre Burrells, in all NFL training camps. Because why are we getting worked
Donald out? Driver syndrome, man. We just love the story.
It's that American story of clawing your way through grit and determination and film study. And
really what it is I think, and this is a fantasy thing, is that I think Odell Beckham and a few other young rookie wide receivers having breakout campaigns made people think that rookie wide receivers come along and like completely reinvent teams like once or twice a season.
Yeah.
And that is complete bullshit. Wide receivers are slow to develop. Jordy Nelson did not do anything for his first 2 years in the league.
Yeah. Unless you're Randy Moss or Anquan Boldin. Yeah. Shouts to Anquan Boldin.
Pour one out.
And like even this season, like I'm sure John Ross and Corey Davis will have decent seasons, but I think people hoping for kind of like a great hype rookie wide receiver will be disappointed. I think also they look across the league and they're like, oh, Galladay, and they're like, ooh, Babytron. Where's our Babytron? Yeah. It's like we have Geronimo Allison, who actually has done something in the NFL.
Yep, he certainly has.
All right, one more thing from the mailbag before we get out of here ahead of this Broncos game. We featured recently an interview with Victor from Brazil, an APC listener located in Brasilia, part of our Packer Fan Profile series that we're starting here. Really cool to hear from listeners all around the world. And as a follow-up to that, we heard from another listener located in Austria. And I just wanted to read that note because...
Österreich.
Exactly. I love this stuff. So let's hear. He says, hi, guys. First of all, you have a great podcast. Aw, thanks. Now you know why I'm reading your email. And due to your request to have people outside of the U.S. get in touch with you, I decided to do so. So this is who I am. My name is Matthias, 29 years old, from Austria, living in Graz, which is the city where Arnold Schwarzenegger was born. That's pretty cool. And I am a huge Packers fan. I started to watch football around 2010, 2011, and besides their success in those years, I frankly really like the fact that the Packers are not owned by any single person, as all other NFL teams are, but are owned by the public. I know it is different to a normal business, but still much closer to the European football clubs, i.e. soccer, that we have here, where basically the majority are not owned by a single person, although unfortunately that is changing. But back to the Packers, I try to watch and listen to almost everything related to them and have NFL Game Pass subscription to cover all of the games. One big dream of mine to attend a live Packers game will come true on September 24th when me and my girlfriend will watch them against the Bengals during our road trip from NYC to Seattle when we stop in Green Bay. Hopefully you enjoyed my story a bit, and that was from Matthias. Awesome. I think that's awesome.
Good luck. Good luck with the trip. And if anybody wants to reach out to show Matthias, some Lambo hospitality,
yeah,
please get in touch.
Look at you doing the promo. Hey, get at us on Twitter at the APC Pod, and we will put you in touch with Matthias, and we will spread the Packers network, the Packers love.
Yeah, I dig it. I'm serious about like a little meetup here. Just like find us.
If you listen
to our podcast, or you like want to like follow us on Twitter and prove it.
We haven't been in person.
I'll buy you drinks.
We haven't been doing the bar for the preseason, but once the season starts, I imagine you'll find us at Tom and Jerry's in Soho.
Some Packers like haunt throughout the greater New York City.
Yeah. So Matthias, area. If you're listening now, he had asked me in a follow up email for bar recommendations because he'll be in New York for the first game of the season and was looking for bar recommendations.
More than welcome to join us at Tom and Jerry's.
Tom and Jerry's is where we go generally. I won't be in town. I think you're working, Alex.
Yeah, that
ben,
one I can't
you might
do.
Be there.
Y'all suck.
Sorry.
I will probably be at Tom and Jerry's.
Week two, I'm all in, but week one,
I'll say about Tom and Jerry's is they serve brats at halftime, and that's
awesome.
You
blew my cover. I said I would also buy you a brat.
Oh, damn it.
Come on.
Sorry.
Dickhead.
I think we've already mentioned it a couple times.
Yeah.
All right, get me my polka. I'm trying to go on vacation, baby. I'm out, so the next episode, we got some good stuff coming. But I'm missing the rest of the preseason, basically, which I'm pretty pumped for, I gotta be honest.
One thing I'm looking forward to the Broncos game is it is Jamaal Charles' apparent last chance at sticking on the Broncos.
Ooh.
And Jamaal Charles is fucking awesome and, for me, a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I'm a big Charles fan.
He's great. So hopefully the Packers don't end his career.
He won me my first ever fantasy league, and so I have a soft spot for him.
There you go. And don't forget, in a couple of weeks, as we get ready for Packers Seahawks, Mina Kimes scheduled to join us. And
we got some content before then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next week, Jamie Ross.
Jamie Ross, most likely.
Our podcast witch going to read the tarot cards.
Stars aligning.
He's going to foretell the Packers season. He was pretty accurate last season, you guys. Seriously, so
yeah. Check it out.
We'll see.
One of my favorite episodes of last year. Back, season 2. We're rolling. the APC podcast.
Woo! So get in touch about the pick'em and shoot us an email at the email address I forgot.
The APC podcast at gmail.com.
That's what I figured, but I didn't want to give faulty information.
No worries.
You can hit us up on Twitter. And, yeah. You said all right. I thought you had it.
Nope. I thought that was it.
All right. That's an ender.